And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And here on The Extra, for the past several weeks, if not months, we've been talking about the coronavirus pandemic, the impact it's had on our everyday lives, and especially on our economy as things begin to reopen gradually. We're starting to see a return to a new normal because in many cases it is not the same as it was before. But one tradition that we want to continue to be the same in some form or fashion is our election and how we voice our opinions in this democracy of ours. And so right now, joining us on the phone, we're so pleased to have the El Paso County Clerk and Recorder, Chuck Brohrman, joining us for this edition of The Extra. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Shannon. Thank you for having us.
Oh, you bet. You bet. So we are encouraging citizens to prepare for the election, but we know it's going to be a different election. So we're going to get to the differences in a bit. But first, let's talk about how each and every one of us should be preparing and making sure that that we are ready to do our civic duty and to take part in this election.
Yes, most certainly, Shannon. You know, in Colorado, we have one of the best models in the country. We make it easy for citizens to vote and voice their franchise and be heard by our elected officials. And we make it difficult to cheat. And now is the time, if you haven't already, is to make sure we have your correct address. We will be sending ballots next week, Monday, through our general mail facility. And we want to make sure all our citizens have their most current address with us so that we can be sure that ballot gets to you, because ballots are not forwarded by mail. So it won't follow you if you've moved. You need to go online to govotecolorado.gov and make sure we have your most current address. People move. People get a, move from one apartment to another, or they upgraded the home that they're living in, or just moved into town from somewhere else. And it's important that we have their most current address so that when those ballots get mailed out next Monday, that you'll get it and you'll have the maximum amount of time to be able to vote before the June 30th primary.
Now, I am someone who likes to show up in person. Can I take care of that by showing up at your offices, or is that something that's now different because of the pandemic?
You know, it is still there. The in-person ability to vote is still there, but we have to have additional layers of safety for both our staff and our voters. So we've been working during the last 3 months. How does that look? How do we keep people safe? How can we spread them out in a vote center such that they're safe and our staff is safe? So yes, we will still have vote centers. You can still have that experience of going to a vote center to vote if you wish. But we want people to be safe and cautious. We're all our employees, all our election judges will be wearing masks, and we'll have the plexiglass screens up, and the distance between our intake stations and the actual voting booths themselves are spread out to keep that safe distancing. That is still something that people can do, is come into our offices and do that. But we really want to encourage people to exercise, if possible, the mail version of that you get that ballot in your mail and you vote that, you have those 3 weeks or so to be able to vote on the candidate, do your due diligence to find out and do that. But so we're urging people to go that way. But if they do want to see us in person, we will have election staff there. We'll have 7 locations throughout the community. We'll have our Citizen Service Center. We'll have our Powers office at Powers and Airport, our Centennial Hall, our Union Town Center up north, and we're going to have the 2 malls, the Citadel Mall and the Chapel Hill Mall. We have entrances where people, while the malls aren't open, we do have entrances where people can enter and vote at those facilities.
Okay, well, and that's important information. Jumping back a little bit, though, I was just wondering, is it possible for us to go and determine our mailing information and such, sure, is up to date by going in person, or does that need to be done online?
Yeah, the easiest and safest way is to go online to govotecolorado.gov. That is the easiest, the safest. way for you. But if you do need to do it, it is limited. We have at our Citizen Service Center in our election department on the second floor. That's at 1675 Garden of the Gods Road. You can come up and you can use our in-person services. But, you know, all our staff will have masks. We ask if you would kindly wear a mask if you do come to our office to keep our staff safe and to keep yourself safe. You can do that in person, but it is a little limited. We've got protective gear for all our workers, and you can do that. But we encourage you to go to govotecolorado.gov. It's the best way for you to find out, and only takes about a minute and a half to do.
Oh, a minute and a half. That goes by in a blink of an eye. So
it does.
Again, and then whatever the decisions are, that's what we're stuck with for longer. But the way that you can check your voter registration, just to reiterate what Mr. Broerman has been telling us, is to go to www.govotecolorado.gov. And that's the way to make sure that your information is up to date, or you can change your address, or even just register to vote. Now, keep in mind, we've got a primary coming up. Some important dates are coming up. We're going to be talking about that in just a moment, as well as the national debate on mail ballot voting, which Colorado has had for quite some time. So we're going to be talking about how Colorado has kind of led the nation in this, and the issues around this debate. That's coming up on The Extra. We're going to take a short break and give you some messages. That's what keeps us on the air here on The Extra. But when we come back, we'll be joined again by El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broerman, our guest for today's The Extra on June 1st. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And we are focusing today on primary election information. And in fact, we've been promoting this website, www.govotecolorado.gov. This is a state website where you can go and you can make sure your information on your address is up to date and registration for your voting is all up to date. And Chuck Broerman, the El Paso County Clerk and Recorder, is on the line. And Mr. Broerman, you've made a promise. This should take about 90 seconds for people to check their information, right?
It should take a very short moment of time. It may take 2 minutes, but it's very quick and easy to check your registration. Or if you've moved and you haven't, and you moved into the state and you haven't registered to vote, you can do it there. When you come to our motor vehicle offices and do your driver's license, we also update your registration there, or register you for the first time. So. Besides the Go Vote Colorado, when you come to our motor vehicle offices and do your driver's license, it is also getting updated there.
Well, and we know that Colorado has been an example in the nation for how to handle mail voting with our ballots. So again, with COVID-19 taking a center stage across the country, across the world really, but across the country, really having an impact on elections as other states look to enter into doing more mail-in or exclusively mail-in ballots. So tell us how Colorado got to the point where it's now being set forth as an example.
Sure, Shannon. You know, the pathway to being where we're at today in Colorado is really a 10 to 12 year journey that started a long time ago, when we went from excuse-based, you had to have an excuse as to why you voted absentee, to where you didn't have to have an excuse, to where if you just wanted to be a permanent mail-in ballot voter, people could do that. We had 60, 70, 80% in parts of the state of Colorado where people were already getting a permanent absentee ballot weeks before the election. We still had that poll place experience too, but we had both, and we still have kind of a hybrid of both. But now every single voter, rather than having requested it, gets a ballot in the mail. It's taken a long time to get there. We had to standardize our voter database between each county. Before, it was something that was maintained by each county, 64 counties. We went to a unified voter database so that we had you know, if you lived in Grand Junction, moved here, that voter registration could move here with you. It was that putting that into place. It was putting other statutes and laws. It was qualifying vendors for the various services, printing those ballots. So there's a lot of stuff that went into getting Colorado where it is. And Shannon, if I can tell a little story from, you know, periodically I go and get recertified as my national certification to be an election official. And when I go to these conferences, when they go around the table, around the room, identifying where you're from, when people hear that you're from Colorado, usually at that break or that lunch, they'll come over to you and ask, you know, they heard all the great things about Colorado, but they want to know, how do we get there? And such. And these are other election officials from other states.
Right.
And when we tell them the various things that we've done, they say, wow, that's a big undertaking. You know, our elected officials are wanting us to move to it. But, you know, they recognize as election officials, there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of steps to get there. I know there's talk about trying states that aren't there to do this in 6 months. And I'm just very concerned with the number of steps that we had to go to, whether someone that wasn't in the best position that we were to do this could do so in 6 months. You have printers that have to be certified, and there's only so many certified printers in this country. There's a lot of logistical challenges to go from where some states are to that. So I can understand some of the concern and debate around the country about, you know, doing what we do very well, that's natural to us, but there's a lot of little baby steps that other people will have to do to get there.
Right. It's not like we are going from 0 to 60. We went on a little meandering country road until we graduated up to the highway, and now we are there. One of the issues that has been mentioned is something called ballot harvesting. Mr. Bormann, what is that?
We've started to see that the last couple of years. We've seen that in California with some Democrat activists, and we saw that on the Republican side of the ledger too in North Carolina. And what it is, you know, when you get that ballot in the mail, you can, and when you're done voting that, you can either drop it into your mailbox and put a stamp on it and pay to have it come back. But we have 32 drop boxes around the county that make it very easy. Most people are, you know, just a few blocks or a short distance away from a drop box. But some places you're seeing activist groups going around knocking on doors offering to bring that back. And while that on the surface looks like a nice thing, a nice civic thing to do, you want to be very careful, because that ballot has your name, your address, it has your signature on the back. You want to protect that information by dropping it off in one of our drop boxes. Nobody sees that but our office, which has the right and the purpose for that, and we safeguard that information. And two, you know, people know whether you're what your affiliation or where you may stand on various issues. And, you know, I'm just concerned, and I think we've seen this elsewhere, where if your affiliation or proclivity to vote a certain way, that can be for good, or a group could use it for purposes of screening or not returning your ballot. So, you know, unless you have a friend or neighbor or someone you trust who said, hey, I'll drop your ballot off, you know, be very careful with giving your ballot to just some stranger that comes to the door offering as a public service to do that. Let's not jeopardize your voice or have your voice not heard by giving to someone who maybe does not have in their heart to do the right thing with it.
Right. And so that's what we can do from prevention method or a even punishment method. What can be done to crack down on people who are nefarious in doing this ballot harvesting?
Well, it's through avenues like this. It's from, you know, the media, our great media partners such as yourself, and social media, and getting the word out to your friends and neighbors. You know, be very careful with your ballot. That is your voice. That is your franchise. That is a right that people gave the ultimate sacrifice so that you can exercise that here in our election. So just be very careful. Use our drop boxes or put the stamp on it and send it back. But use those secure venues for returning that, or make sure it's somebody, a family member or a close neighbor that if you do give that and that they offer to do that, that you do it as such and not just somebody who means well or has good think you have good intentions. But, you know, make sure you do that yourself. We make it very easy with the drop boxes.
I remember reading about that Carolina case, and I don't remember what the punishment was for the, or if they ever found who it was who had taken those ballots, not actually turned them in, they believe. But if someone were caught doing that, is there any sort of fine or penalty for
there,
that?
There is. We've got a great DA in Dan May who, when we see instances of voter fraud, he's been willing to put the time and the effort and the resources to do that. So he's been very good about helping us when we do see voter fraud situations such as that, is making sure that those people are brought to justice. So we work closely with the DA's office to make sure of that. In the North Carolina thing, where we have on your ballot, you sign it so that we can verify as you. We compare that signature just like a bank does in checking your signature at the bottom of a check. In North Carolina, they did not have signature verification. Oh. And it put that race, that congressional race, in doubt such that they had to do a redo. They had to do that election over. So North Carolina did not have signature verification. We do have that. That's our way of making sure that is you and only you that cast that ballot.
Okay. Well, important information that we're getting from our El Paso County Clerk and Recorder, Chuck Brorman. We have much more with Mr. Brorman coming up, including why today is such an important date in the 2020 primary election. That's coming up after the break. We need to take a short time out for some messages. We're at the halfway point of today's extra show, talking about the primary election, as well as what you can do as a citizen to take part in making sure your voice is heard this election. That's coming up after this break. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that brings you the topics, people, and issues that are important to you. And today's topic is something that should be important to all of us Americans, and that is our ability to vote and to play a part in this democratic process. And currently we are talking to El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Brorman. Your title is slightly a mouthful, Mr. Brorman.
It is a mouthful.
EPC C and R. There we go. It doesn't get any shorter when you just initialize it. But let's talk. We've got some important issues regarding primary dates. But before we get to that, with Colorado Springs being such a hub for military members, tell us what has happened with our military and overseas ballots. Where do they stand right now?
You know, they enjoy an extra bit of time because of where they are in the world. So military and overseas voters had you register for that, and they have the ability to get their ballot 45 days ahead of time. So we had sent ballots out to those service men and women and those other voters who find themselves overseas on May 15th. They get the extra bit of time. They get a total of 45 days before the election. So voting has already started. We had a number of people who, the afternoon that we sent them out, that they were already returning their ballots. They are able to vote electronically. They are accorded that luxury under federal law, and we are here to support that and honor that request. So we've had people who are already voting, and that's our voters that are overseas and working or going to school or keeping our country safe.
I knew so
that's been happening for a time.
I knew that they got the additional time. I guess I didn't realize that they could do so electronically, but I'm guessing because of the additional vetting that's done because of their positions with the military, that allows them, an increased level of security so that you know.
They do. They are sent through a encrypted, secure method, either by fax, an encrypted fax, or an email. And then we have encryption on our way back so that we can secure that. So it's something that they enjoy that because you don't know. You might be on a sub in the middle of the Atlantic or stationed in Iceland or South Pole or any, you know, wherever mm-hmm. you may be, or in the Far East or in the Midwest, wherever they are. It's always a challenge to get mail to them. So they can either get that ballot sent to them physically in the form of a paper ballot, or they can do so electronically.
Okay, and that's not the only task that the Clerk and Recorder's Office has already accomplished regarding the election. Tell us about this logic test.
An accuracy test, yes. Mm-hmm. So we last week completed in front of members of the public, representatives from the Democratic and Republican Party who came in, and we exercised our machine, and they verified that we sent nearly 6,000 ballots through each of our 8 scanners and verified that they counted accurately and that they put the votes in the right bucket, so to speak, that they went to the right candidate. So they're exercised and tested very rigorously to ensure that we're going to tabulate and have fair, accurate, and transparent elections, and the results that we post on election night are truly the wishes of our citizens.
Okay, so there we have the public verification for folks who may have their doubts about whether election results are going to be as verifiable as they can be. So let's talk about, we also
do that on the backside. So after the election, we have an audit also that's before the public to verify that everywhere from the very beginning to the end that we can guarantee the citizens that it was a fair and accurate election.
Oh, that's fantastic. I've never experienced any discrepancy with my voting, but I know one time in a different state, some people did complain that they felt like their votes had not been tabulated right. So that is very good to know that Colorado is on top of that. Let's talk about these important dates. Today is a key date. So let's tell people out there listening what they need to do if they are so inclined.
So there's a couple things that are happening today on June 1st, which is 30 days before the election. You know, it's the last day for voters who are affiliated with a political party to change. So if you are a member of the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, Unity Party, Republican, Democrat Party, if you said, you know, I want to change my affiliation and I wanted to vote in a different party's primary, this is the last day that you can do it. If you're an unaffiliated voter, you don't affiliate with any party, this is the last day that you can state a preference to us that, hey, I'm an unaffiliated voter, but I wanted to vote in the Republican primary, or I'm an unaffiliated voter, I want to vote in the Democratic primary. You know, in primaries, you have 2 separate elections that are happening. And actually, this year, we have 3. We have the Libertarian, too. So we have the Republican, Democratic, and Libertarian. So they're separate elections, and you can't vote in more than one. So if you want to select a preference, say I'm unaffiliated, I want to select one particular party, you can do so. Today is the last day. Otherwise, if you're an unaffiliated voter, you will get both major parties' ballots, but you can't vote both of them. You can only vote one because, like I said earlier, there's 2 separate elections happening on election day in the primary. You need to pick one. So while we send you 2 ballots, if you're an unaffiliated voter, you can only return one of them. That still maintains your unaffiliated status, but just you have indicated a preference for that particular primary.
So if someone out there does not follow the directions properly and they send in both ballots, they're an unaffiliated voter, they received both ballots in the mail, and they just did not realize or follow the instructions, and they send both of them in, what happens?
Well, that's the unfortunate thing, and it is we have to follow state law. So we have it on the ballot envelopes, we have it on the ballot itself, reminding that you can only return one. But if you had missed that and you said, well, Clerk Borman sent me both ballots, he must meant for me to vote both, that's not the case. The case is you can only vote the one. So if you do vote both and you send it back to us, unfortunately, that cancels out. We cannot count either of those ballots. So please be careful, you know, pick and choose, and then send just the one back. Because if you send both back, that will void your vote, and we definitely don't want that to happen.
Okay. Well, important information there to get out. And keep in mind, you may have been hearing some of the ads or seeing some of the posters, billboard signs that have gone up. And if you think a particular primary race is looking very interesting and you want to have a say in it, you need to either choose that ballot, being an unaffiliated voter, and only that ballot. Or if you are affiliated with the opposite party or a different party, you need to change your party affiliation today in order to vote in that primary, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Want to make sure our listeners are getting this. And again, if you're curious about your voter registration, how you may have picked as far as your affiliation, go to www.govotecolorado.gov. Okay. We have more dates that we're going to be talking about coming up after the break. Have to take a short time out, but when we come back, much more information with Chuck Broerman, our El Paso County Clerk and Recorder. And welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. You know, as offices start to get back to maybe normal operations, one office that has been probably bustling with activity is our El Paso County Clerk and Recorder's office. The Clerk and Recorder, Chuck Broerman, joining me right now on the phone. And Mr. Broerman, it's going to be busy because June 8th coming up is a very important day for your office. Tell us about what happens then.
Sure, it is. June 8th is the date that we're going to send out 404,000 ballots to our citizens here in El Paso County. And we also, that is the date that we open as a voter service and polling center at our Citizen Service Center, which is on Garden of the Gods Road, for people who want to come in and vote in person. That will be available, and then in the days and weeks after that, we have additional deadlines that are coming up. But June 8th, next week, our 404,000 ballots will drop into the general mail facility there in Fountain Boulevard and Academy, and we'll be there to receive them in person and make sure that they are accepted by the U.S. Postal Service and can be on their way over the next couple of days to our citizens.
Okay, so keep in mind, that's when the ballots go out, and you can start turning them in. June 30th is the day that the ballots must be received by, correct?
That's correct. By 7 p.m. on Election Day, June 30th, which is a Tuesday, 7 p.m., they have to be in our possession. They can't be postmarked. They have to be actually physically in our presence. We have the 35 drop boxes throughout the community that people can utilize that are convenient. They can mail them back. But a week before the election, we urge people not to drop them in the U.S. Postal Service in the mail stream there, because all our mail goes from here up to Denver, gets processed at that general mail facility, and then come back. And we don't want anyone to miss if there's a glitch or anything. So up to a week before the June 30th date is kind of the last day that we tell people, hey, you can put a stamp on and drop it off. Use one of our drop boxes throughout the whole mm-hmm. time. You save yourself the stamp, and it's easy. And we have bipartisan teams of ballot runners that pick them up many times between now and then on a daily basis.
Okay, so the ballot boxes may be more advisable, and if you do insist and want to get it in by U.S. mail, then June 22nd is the recommended last day you should be popping it in the mail. Okay.
That is correct.
Also on June 22nd, there are some locations opening. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we open up additional voter service and polling centers, and earlier in our interview today, we talked about those. So those are our motor vehicle offices and a few other locations. So you can do it at the Citizen Service Center on Garden of the Gods Road. You can go to our Powers and Airport location. You can do it at downtown at Centennial Hall. Our North Motor Vehicle Office at Union Town Center. We have a place at the Citadel Mall on the north side of the mall near the food court. We'll have an entrance for people who want to vote in person. And then the Chapel Hills Mall, we have what was formerly the Gordmans, and before that J.C. Penney's on the north side of the Chapel Hills Mall. We have a location too, and then we'll be opening up Vista Grande Baptist Church, which is at Stetson Hills and Powers, as a vote center. So places throughout the community where people can vote in person if they wish to do so, starting June the 22nd.
And there are other things they can accomplish, not just the voting in person at those centers, correct? What kind of things?
Yeah, you can update your registration, or let's say you mismarked your ballot and said, oops, I made a mistake. You know, there is directions in the ballot packet that we send you out how you can correct that and it will get counted. But if you still feel, well, I want to have a pristine ballot, I spoil my ballot, you want to come in, you can come into those vote centers and get a replacement. You would surrender the ballot that you mismarked, and then we would give you a new one at which you can then vote the correct choice and drop that in our box.
Okay. I'm thinking that some people out there listening might be like myself. I'm a bit of a procrastinator, and I wait until maybe the day that I have to do something to get it done. And say you've moved from out of town, or maybe you're new to the voting experience, and you want to register to vote. When's our deadline?
Well, you can, in Colorado, we have up to election day that you can register to vote. But if you want to register to vote by either going to govotecolorado.com or calling our office at 575-VOTE, that's 575-8683, you can, you know, do that up until June 22nd, and we'll mail you out a ballot. But after June 22nd, you can come into those vote centers, register to vote, get your ballot, and vote it at that time.
Okay, but even once that would be sent out, again, you only have until June 30th by 7 p.m. to get that returned.
Yes, 7 p.m. to us. If you're in line at one of our vote centers, and we work real hard to keep those lines as small, as short as possible, if you're in line at 7 p.m., either to drop it off at our drop box or in our vote centers, you will be able to vote. So, you know, we ask you not to cut it that close, but if you forget and you're on the way home from work or school or some volunteer activities, whatever you're doing, if you find yourself, if you're in line to either drop off that ballot or in, at our vote center to vote, you will be able to vote.
Okay, I've done that before. I was a little nervous, but you guys are so wonderful. And just, you're right, you cycled us through so quickly, and it was great. Even though the line was as long, sometimes it felt like as those Raising Cane's lines. So the information that you might need can be found at two places, epcvotes.com. Is one site to check out for a lot of this information. Also, if you want to check your voter registration, again, the site is www.govotecolorado.gov. We're going to make sure that we put these sites up on our KRDO News Radio podcast page. And as well, you can also call the El Paso County Clerk and Recorder's Office, 719-575-VOTE. Is your number for questions. Again, that's 719-575-VOTE. And we did want to talk about expansion of in-person services for the motor vehicle side, Mr. Berman, but I think we've run out of time. So we'll just have to keep that for the next time that we get you on the line here. But again, if you want to find out more, contact the El Paso County Clerk and Recorder's Office. And if you want to find out information about those motor vehicle and recording services, you can go to epcdrives.com, or you can call the recording department at 719-520-6200. We had a lot to talk about today, but I'm glad we got all the information in. Again, we want to thank our guest for today, El Paso County Clerk and Recorder, Chuck Broerman.
Thank you, Shannon.
And we just urge everyone, make sure you vote. Get your voice heard. Right, Chuck?
You betcha. We want everyone to be heard.
Okay. You're listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM.